Behind us, I see the water nymphs poking above the churning surface, their glistening heads bobbing on the water like jewels from a lost treasure. A snippet of their beautiful song finds us, and for a moment I drift toward the edge of the ship, wanting once again to dive under. We pull forward with a lurch, moving away from them, and their song turns to rage, a sound like birds deprived of food. "Stop it," I say under my breath, willing it to end. "Why won't they stop?"
"They expected a gift, a token for the journey," the Gorgon answers.
"What sort of gift?" I ask.
"One of you."
"That's horrible," I say.
"Yes," the Gorgon hisses. "You have made them unhappy, I'm afraid. They can be rather vicious when cross, and they hold a grudge."
The thought of those cold, wet hands pulling one of us under makes me shiver. "Are there more of these nymphs out there?" Pippa asks, her pale face illuminated by the orange sky.
"Yes," the Gorgon says, "but I shouldn't worry too much about them. They can only come for you if you're in the water."
There's cold comfort. The fog clears. My limbs are shaky, as if I have run for a very long time. The four of us lie on the floor of the boat, looking up at the bright sky. "How will we find the temple if these creatures use their own magic against us?" Anne asks. "I don't know," I say. This is not the beautiful garden my mother showed me. It is quite obvious now that the realms beyond that garden are no place to let down my guard. "Gorgon," I ask, when all is calm again and the garden is in sight, "is it true that you're imprisoned on this barge as punishment?"
"Yes," comes the hissing answer.
"By whose magic?"
"The Order's."
"But why?" The great barge creaks and groans on the water.
"It was I who led my people against the Order during the rebellion."
The snakes of her head writhe and reach. One ropes itself around the pointed bow, its tongue inches from my hand. I pull back to a safer distance. "Are you still loyal to the Order?" I ask.
"Yes,"
comes the answer. But it is not immediate, like a response compelled by magic. There is a moment's hesitation. She stopped to think, and I realize that Felon's warning is apt. "Gorgon, did you know the water nymphs were near?"
"Yes,"
she says. "Why didn't you warn us?"
"You didn't ask."
And with that, we reach the garden, where the large green beast closes her eyes. Pippa squeezes us tightly, not wanting to let go. "Must you hurry back? When can you come again?" "As soon as possible," Felicity assures her. "Don't let anything get you, Pip." "I shan't," Pippa says. She takes my hands. "Gemma, I saved your life today." "Yes, you did. Thank you." "I suppose that binds us, doesn't it? Like a promise?" "I suppose so," I say uneasily. Pippa gives me a kiss on the cheek. "Come back soon as you can." The door of light flares to life, and we leave her waving to us like the last fleeting image of a dream before waking. Back in the bedchamber, we take stock of ourselves. We are all fine, if a bit shaken, and ready to resume our places for tea. "Do you feel it?" Felicity asks as we clamber down the stairs. I nod. The magic courses through me. My blood pumps faster, and every sense is keener for it. It is astonishing, like being lit from within. From behind the closed doors of the dining room, I can hear snippets of conversations, can feel the wants and desires, the petty jealousies and disappointments of every beating heart till I am forced to will them away.
"Ah, here is our Miss Bradshaw now,"
the ample woman says as we enter the room.
"We understand that you were trained by the finest masters in all of Russia as a child, and that this is how the Tsarina's family knew at once you were their long-lost relative by your lovely voice. Won't you please do us the honour of singing one song?"
This story grows as wild as the magic of the realms with each telling. "Yes, you simply must," Felicity says, taking Anne's arm. Use the magic, she whispers. Felicity, I whisper back. We're not supposed to. We must. We can't just abandon Anne. Anne gives me a pleading look. Just this once, Felicity says. Just this once, I repeat. Anne turns back to the crowd, smiling. I would be happy to sing. She waits for the rustling of skirts to subside as the women take their seats. Then she closes her eyes. I can feel her concentrating, drawing on the magic. It's as if we are joined by it, working in concert to create this illusion. Anne opens her mouth to sing. She has a lovely voice, quite naturally, but the music that tumbles out of her is very powerful and seductive. It takes me a moment to recognize the language. She's singing in Russian, a language she doesn't actually know. It is a very nice touch. The women of the Alexandra are held in thrall. When Anne reaches the song's crescendo, a few dab at their eyes, so moved are they. As Anne finishes with a small, respectful curtsy, the women applaud and rush to praise her. Anne basks in their adoration. Lady Denby strides to Anne's side and offers her congratulations.
Lady Denby, how wonderful you look, Felicity's mother says.
Lady Denby nods but does not respond. The slight is noted by everyone. There is an uncomfortable silence in the room. Lady Denby regards Anne coolly.
You say you are a relation of the Duke of Chesterfield?
Yes, Anne stammers.
Strange. I don't believe I've ever met the Duke.
I feel a tug, a change in the air. The magic. When I look over, Felicity has her eyes closed in concentration, and a faint smile curves those full lips. Suddenly, Lady Denby breaks wind with an enormous crackling sound. There is no hiding the shock and horror on her face as she realizes what she's done. She breaks wind again, and several of the women clear their throats and look away as if they can pretend not to notice the offense. For her part, Lady Denby excuses herself, muttering something about being indisposed on her way out.
Felicity, that was terrible of you, I whisper.
Why? She asks, cool as can be. She is an old windbag, after all. Now that Lady Denby has left, people gravitate to Anne and Mrs. Worthington, congratulating Felicity's mother for having such an esteemed guest in her home. Invitations for tea, dinner, calls are offered in abundance. The slight has been forgotten.
I shall never be powerless again, Felicity says, though I don't know exactly what she means by it, and she doesn't offer to explain.